How's everybody? Everybody's great. A couple of people are great. Some are not sure. So anyway. Well, it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. I wanted to remind you of the Women's Captivating Retreat. There's an insert in the bulletin with the details about that event. It's a regional event that Judy Farmer, Judy Wave over here, Judy's playing the piano today. She's involved with the leadership team for that event. And she just told me that there's plenty of space available. So if you'd like to attend that, speak with Judy. And if you need help funding that retreat, come see Jeff or myself. We'd love to help you make that happen. For a lot of years, I serviced our family vehicles. And there was a time that we had five or six at the house, even though there were just four of us drivers. I never figured out why we had more vehicles than we had drivers. But, you know, there was a time probably 10 or 12 years ago, 15 years ago maybe, that I just quit doing that. I got tired of trying to get the vehicle up to where I can get the oil drained and change the oil. And so I started taking our vehicles to Four Seasons Car Wash to have that done. So they've been servicing our vehicles for a lot of years. And there was a point probably 8 years ago that I took my current vehicle at the time up to the lube station to have the oil changed. And if you've ever been there, you know that they've also got a car wash on the property. And so when you get your oil changed, you get a free car wash that you actually pay for, but they tell you it's free. And if you're not familiar with that business, here's the drill. They finish your vehicle, you go up and you pay out, and they say, do you want to upgrade your car wash? Well, no, I don't want to ever upgrade my car wash. But this particular day, the upgrade was free, along with the free car wash. And so I was kind of excited about that. I had no idea what the upgrade was. So I left the lube station. I went over to the car wash station. I got my vehicle checked in, and I asked the guy, I said, tell me what do I get with the upgrade? And he said, well, we put a little wax on there, a little clear coat, plus you get an interior fragrance. And I said, well, tell me about the interior fragrances. What do I get with that? And what are the options? And so he started reading off a list. It was like coconut and raspberry, pomegranate, some weird stuff. And then the fourth or fifth fragrance was new car smell. And, man, I jumped all over that new car smell because I was driving a vehicle that was 10 years old, and I hadn't had a new car since 1983, something like that. And so I was excited about that. Yeah, let's go for a new car. You know, I'll have a 10-year-old vehicle that smells like a new car. I was pretty excited. And so they wash my vehicle, and they take it out, and they dry it off, and they vacuum it out, and then they signal me that the vehicle is ready. And so I go and just, boy, my heart's racing because I'm headed to my vehicle, and I'm going to get in something that smells new. I open the door, and I sit down, close the door. I take this deep breath, and, you know, they got the odors, the fragrances mixed up because what I smelled was a dirty, rotten, stinking, athlete's feet infested sock is exactly what I smelled. And it was horrible. It was terrible. It really was. And so, you know, I'm thinking, well, it was free. I didn't have to pay for it, first of all. And probably they just shot a couple squirts in there, and it would eventually dissipate. And so I rolled my windows down, and I drove home. Well, that particular week, I was an insurance inspector, and I had a 600 or 700 mile week ahead of me. And so I get up the next morning, and I go out to my vehicle, open the door, and it's just worse. I mean, it is twice as bad as it was the day before, and I've got 600 or 700 miles to drive. And so I'm driving down the highway at 70, 75 miles an hour, whatever the speed limit was, and I've got the windows down, and, you know, my head's hanging out the window gagging because this odor is absolutely terrible. And I finally get back home, and I'm thinking, how much of that stuff did they put in here? It's just not going away. Well, I thought, well, they bound to have planted something in my vehicle. And so it took me 5 days to find it, but I finally found it. I peeled back, floor mat, and there it was, a little square dispenser, and it said on it, dirty, rotten, stinking, athlete's feet infested sock. It's exactly what, no, it didn't say that, but it really, that's what it smelled like. But, it, you know, it was terrible. I mean, they tried to duplicate an original scent. And you know, new car smells sell new cars, they say. And I was reading an article about some of the vehicle manufacturers that they actually have scent teams, S-C-E-N-T, where they make sure that the vinyl doesn't clash with the aroma of the leather or the seat cushions or you know, other things that are inside the vehicle, the carpet. And you know, somebody tried to duplicate that smell, and they did an incredibly poor job of it. And I was probably wasn't the first sucker, but I'm sure that others had that same experience as well. You know, Scripture says, this is a terrible segue into the sermon title, to be honest with you. But there is a purpose here for that. The sermon today is the aroma of Christ. And, you know, that's a significant thing for us to be, for Scripture to say about us, that we are the aroma of Christ. I want to share just a few thoughts about that, but before I do that, let me pray for us this morning. Father, I thank you, God, for your love for us. I thank you, Father, for Jesus, the very one that we represent. And Lord, we overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we love our lives, not even unto death. So Lord, I'm grateful for that this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You're welcome to move and change us for the Father's glory. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you can find your note sheet, got a few points I want to share with you this morning. Point number one is that we are the aroma of Christ himself, the original Jesus Christ, not some false attempt to try to reproduce that particular aroma or reproduce who Jesus is. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2:15. Says, we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. We are the pleasing aroma of Christ. Did you get that? You know, all through Scripture, the Old Testament, if you look at sacrifices that were offered on the altar, some of them were kind of weird. I mean, they would put a mixture of oil and grain, and then sometimes they would take the intestinal tract of an animal and put it, all that, mix that together, and then burn it on the altar. And, you know, that doesn't sound very appetizing, but Scripture says it was a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And so Jesus, as the ultimate sacrifice, the one who takes away the sin of the world, that was a pleasing sacrifice, a very pleasing sacrifice to God. And you and I, as his representatives, are pleasing to the Lord. And you know, we give off the aroma of Christ. It's not something natural. You know how we humans are with those scents, those natural scents. I mean, it's something that's supernatural. Something that's supernatural. And we represent the original Jesus Christ himself. And that's significant. You know, there's many who have come that have claimed to be Christ. And I just for fun, I Googled people who think they're Christ, and I got a number of hits. Actually, there was a website that says the top 10 people that think they're Jesus. And so I wanted to narrow that list down to five, and I want to share with you five individuals that we do not represent, okay? Do not represent. The first gentleman, I think we're going to have some help on the screen. This is Alan Miller. Alan was an IT specialist in Australia. He said God revealed to him that he was crucified at some point in the past. And his followers are not only based in Australia, but other parts of the world. And there have been well-known businessmen, civic leaders who have left their career and gone to live in Australia close to Alan Miller. This is his partner, not his wife, but his partner. And you're never going to guess what her name is. This is Mary Magdalene. I didn't know that. That's Alan Miller and Mary Magdalene. The next gentleman is Wayne Bent. He's got a James Brolin looking thing going on there. He's better known as Michael Trevesser. He's the leader of the Lord Our Righteousness Church in New Mexico. He has many followers. He is currently serving a 10-year prison sentence. Got himself into trouble for inappropriate contact with a minor. He's eligible for parole in 2017. And he's okay with that because he said, well, Jesus came and he was persecuted, so they're persecuting me. And it's okay. This is our friend Wayne Bent. The next person on the list. This isn't what I thought Jesus might look like there. I don't know what this salute thing he's got going on there. This is Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. And his ministry is based out of Miami. He believes that he is both Jesus and the Antichrist in one. He received that revelation in 1973, a little schizophrenic, a little confused about the difference between the two. There is some thought that he died in 2012, but others believe that he's alive. And so he was number six or seven on the list. The next person, this is my favorite. This is In Re Christo. And I think that means Latin for Jesus on a moped. I'm not quite sure what that means. But he has been all over the world asking people to repent in his name, telling them that he's the Savior. He's been to 27 countries. His ministry is based out of Brazil. His followers only number in the hundreds. And when I read that, I thought, well, maybe he needs to lose the moped. But then I read that most of his followers are women. So I don't know, maybe it's working for him. I'm not quite sure. And then the fifth person is Sergey Torop. Now, he kind of looks the part a little bit. Handsome young man, long flowing robe. He says he received a revelation from God when he was working for the Russian government that he is the reincarnated Christ. He has 10,000 followers, 4,000 that live in the same community with him, a community that they established. The church that he oversees is Church of the Last Testament, and it's based in Soviet Union. And many have come claiming to be Christ. I tell you, church, as the aroma of Christ, as his ambassadors, as his representatives, we do not represent these people. We represent Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's coming back someday. He is. And when he comes back, there's not going to be a lot of confusion about who he is. You know, Scripture said someday he's going to come busting through the clouds. There's going to be a shout, a trumpet. You know, loud voices, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. Hallelujah. And Jesus is going to display, just with his appearance, just with his coming, he's going to destroy the works of the devil, destroy the enemy. And you know, every eye is going to see him, Revelation tells us. Every eye is going to see him. And I don't know if I'm going to be alive when that happens or not. But, you know, I think, how's that going to work? Because what if he comes back at 2 a.m. our time? It's going to be dark. How am I going to see him? Well, you know what? When Jesus comes back, I believe that he's going to illuminate the entire globe, our entire planet. And how am I going to see him? If he comes back over Jerusalem, I'm on the other side of the globe. How am I going to see him there? Well, I don't know, but every eye is going to see him. Every eye is going to witness him. He's the one that we represent. That's whose aroma that we're spreading around as we walk in him, as we live and move and have our being in him. You know, John, in the first chapter of Revelation, he sees Christ, the resurrected, glorified Christ. And he tried to describe him this way. He said, well, his hair is white like wool. And, well, maybe it's more like it's snow. And his face is white. And his eyes are like a flame of fire. And he's got a long flowing robe on. And he has... You know, his feet are like burnished bronze. It's like it's a metal that's so hot that it's glowing red. And John says his face was like the splendor of the sun, and I couldn't even look at his appearance. You know, we can't look at the sun. It's more kind of looking at it out of the corner of our eye. And you know, this is the same Jesus that John spent 3 years in ministry with. And John didn't say, Jesus, how you doing? How long has it been, 60 years since we've hung out together?
You know, that wasn't his response. His response, and his only response, is that he fell on his face like a dead man. Church, that's who we represent. That's who we represent. As the aroma of Christ, as a pleasing fragrance to the Lord, we represent the original, the one and only, Christ himself. Second point is that the aroma of Christ comes in two different fragrances. Or one fragrance with two different interpretations of that particular fragrance. Let's look at 2 Corinthians again, verse 15, and we're going to go ahead and read 16 as well. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. Who is equal to such a task? None of us without Christ. So for those who are saved, we're the aroma of life. For those who are not saved, we are the aroma of death. So it comes in two different fragrances. Or whoever detects that particular aroma, it's in one fragrance, and it's interpreted two different ways. But first of all, let's look at the smell, the smell of life. I believe that since we are the aroma of Christ, excuse me, since we're the smell of life to people, I believe that when we come into somebody else's presence that's a believer, we come into a mutual space or in the same room, I think there ought to be a connection there in the supernatural realm, in the spiritual realm. I was at HEB a couple of years ago, and I was in the express checkout lane, and there was a young lady there that was 21, 22 years old, checking people out, and I was the third or fourth person in line, and I was just watching her as she interacted with people. And I just was almost certain that she was a believer. Just the way she presented herself and just radiated, and it's almost like Jesus was oozing out of her. So I get up to check out. She's scanning my items, and I just said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And she said, "Yes, sir." See, this such a sweet young lady. And I said, "Girl, Jesus is all over you. Just keep doing what you're doing. You know, people need to know that he is who he says he is, and you're doing a great job basically being the fragrance of Christ, being the aroma of Christ." You know, Carlene and I are blessed to be part of this church. And it's not a perfect church. It was really close to being a perfect church in January 2005, and I joined it. And so I messed it up for all of us. I apologize. And as long as y'all got Carlene, you're stuck with me, I guess. But you know, dadgummit, we got a pretty good church. I mean, we really do. And it's because of, you know, the unification of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And you know, I've been, I'm not going to name churches or people, but I've been in church situations in the past, and I'm sure some of you may have as well, that were incredibly ugly. You know, I was in business meetings where people were shouting at each other, and one person was inviting somebody else outside to settle the score in Jesus' name. Oh, that's atrocious. Is that who Jesus died for? For that group of people? And you know, we just don't have a lot of that. You know, there's just, you know, a little bit of friction on occasion, but what families don't have a little bit of friction on occasion? And you know, I believe that we experience what we do, first of all, because Jesus desires that we all be one, as he and the Father are one. But I believe when we come in this place, I believe that we allow the aroma of life to flow. I really do. And so it's a pleasing environment. It really is. And I appreciate you guys for striving to be that. And we need to not ever take that for granted. We need to continue to press into the Lord and ask for protection in regard to the unity that we walk in here at Wiley Methodist Church. The devil absolutely detests it and hates it, so we need to continue to fight for it. So first of all, that fragrance is the smell of life to some. Secondly, it's the smell of death to others. Now, I don't think it means this when we talk about with the smell of death or the aroma of death to others. I don't think that we smell like a dead animal to other people. I mean, we've all smelled a dead cat, dog, a dead mouse in the wall, perhaps. I mean, it's not a very pleasing fragrance. You know, I spent 24 years in the fire service, and, you know, I've been around death and, you know, been around people who were dead several days, and all the, you know, the odor is just absolutely horrid. And I think about when Jesus was standing in front of Lazarus' grave, and he told them to roll the stone away, and the sisters begged him not to. He said, "Oh, Lord, the stench is going to be terrible. Don't move the stone." And, of course, Jesus resurrected Lazarus, and he took the stench away. Got a little bonus. And so I don't think it means that, that we're the smell of death to other people. Here's what I think that means. Let's look at Matthew 5, 14 through 16. I'm going to read it from the screen. The wording I have here is a little differently. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." I think that's what it means for that we are the smell of death to others. That we serve the Lord in such a way, in such a fashion, that Jesus Christ is honored, that God is glorified, and people take notice of that. And people are stirred if they don't know Christ. You know, when I was lost, I had people that really challenged me who were believers in Christ. There were some people in high school. There was a group of young teenagers that were incredibly radical, and they were awesome young men and young women. And every time I was around them, you know, they challenged me. They didn't really, you know, say, "Billy, you know, repent or you're going to go to hell." I never heard that, but I just watched them walk. I just watched how they interacted with people, how they interacted with me. And it stirred me. It challenged me. It made me think about where I was in my faith journey, which I wasn't in a very good place. And I believe that God strategically places us. Acts chapter 17 says that he determines places and locations and times where we live. And I believe he places us in employment opportunities in the job sector. And I believe that he has strategically placed us wherever so that the fragrance of Christ, the aroma of Christ, will permeate our culture. I believe he wants people to know that Jesus is alive. I believe that he gives us the opportunity to be the fragrance of life as well as the fragrance of death. And the third point is that we need to wear this fragrance proudly, not pridefully, but we need to wear the fragrance proudly. When I was a teenager, I went to Arkansas with a family. I had this girlfriend. I don't know. Our relationship wasn't much. I don't know. We just hung out together. So we were boyfriend and girlfriend. And her family was going to Arkansas to watch her brother play football. He attended Abilene Christian College. It was Abilene Christian College at the time. And I don't remember who they were playing, but they were going to watch him play. And they asked me if I wanted to go. And Mom said, "Sure, you can go." And so I was excited about that opportunity. And I appreciated my mom giving me the green light, and I thought I would buy her a gift while I was there. And so we were downtown in a gift shop, and I had like $10 in my pocket, and I was thinking, what would be a good gift for my mom? And Mom, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I found this 2-gallon bottle of perfume for $2, like $1 a gallon. I'm thinking, man, that's the gift that keeps on giving right there. And so I took it home and I presented it to her. And do you remember that, Mom, at all? Yeah, she does. Okay. And she still got it. No? Okay. After 50-something years. But, you know, she received it well, and then I never saw it again. I mean, it's almost like it disappeared. And she wasn't going to wear that fragrance proudly. But you know, church, that's the call in our lives. I mean, whether we like it or not, we're a pleasing aroma to Christ. And he wants us to be about his business. And you know, we allow so many things to cover up that fragrance. You know, our busyness, our spiritual laziness, we allow our woundedness to cover up that fragrance, our guilt and our shame. And you know, I think the call in our life is to let that fragrance flow. And just let it flow. We need to try to get up wind of people so they'll get a good whiff of who we are when we're out in the public. We need to let it flow at work. We need to let it flow at school. Young parents, at your kids' soccer games, baseball games, football games, basketball games, it's difficult. It's hard. I've been there. I made an absolute fool of myself when I was younger and my kids were younger. We need to let that fragrance flow in our neighborhood. Let it flow to the weird ones. And some of us may be that weird neighbor. I'm not sure. All of us have one, seems like. And you know, the ones that may not even cut their yard, mow their grass. And I've got a number of offenders in my neighborhood. And, you know, I've got to pray for rain sign out in the yard. You know, that should be enough. Shouldn't people know that they need Jesus by my pray for rain sign in my yard? And, you know, I know they have lawnmowers because they use them one or two times a year. I see them out in the yard mowing their grass, you know. What do they think about me? What am I emitting in my neighborhood? I've got some neighbors that are struggling. I need to let that fragrance flow in my neighborhood. We need to let it flow at Walmart, Target, HEB, Market Street, which is a pretty cool place, United, anywhere we shop. We need to be the fragrance of Christ. We need to be the aroma of Christ. And in church, again, it is a high privilege for us to be able to do that as we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jeff?
You know, thank you for that word, Billy. As I was thinking through that and knowing that we were preparing to take the Lord's Supper, we can't be the aroma of life until we have experienced the aroma of death. God's word says that we are crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, it is Christ that lives within me. This meal is a costly meal. We must experience the death of Christ so that we can be the life of Christ. Do we understand that, church? Christ set us the example. You know, Billy showed those slides of all these different people that are claiming to be Christ. You know how we'll know Christ? Christ is sacrificial. His love for us is sacrificial. We see people that are self-serving, you know that's not Christ. Jesus allowed his body to be broken for us. Think about that. We talked about how love, the last couple of weeks, how love in our culture is misunderstood. The love of Christ is a sacrificial love. He allowed his blood to be spilt, to be poured out for our sake, so that we might live, so that we might be that aroma of Christ. We come to this meal . We don't come as a perfect people. Billy talked about us being a good church, and we are a good church. I believe that God is honored here. We don't come as a perfect people. We come as a redeemed people, redeemed by the body and blood of Christ. So we come to this meal today with a heart of repentance, realizing that we haven't got our act all together, but Christ, through Christ, we do. So if you would just bow your head with me, just pray your own private prayer of confession. You don't have to pray it to me. Jesus is our high priest. You can pray it directly to him. Just confess your sins before him. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. If our servers, our praise team, our sound team will come forward, please. Wiley United Methodist Church, when we have communion, we have open communion. What that means is that if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome to come and partake in communion. You do not have to be a member of our church, member of the Methodist Church, anything like that. If you profess Christ as your Lord and Savior, you repent of your sins, you are welcome here. You're also welcome to not partake in communion. That's okay. It's your choice. We hope that you feel welcome and we'll partake. These two stations here and these two stations here, you will be handed a piece of bread. You can dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. The center aisle has the individual wafers and the individual cups. You can come and partake in that manner in this center section. The altar is open as well. Come.
Hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to hear my. Sin and left a crib. presence they be washed in white and snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Jesus paid.
Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Church, I love you guys. I love you guys. It's just a privilege to be able to serve along with you. And all of us, you know, we're all challenged to be Jesus. And everywhere you go, you know, people need to know that He's alive and He's real. I want to remind you of the meal. If you have brought something, that's awesome. If you haven't, we've always bring extra. And so we invite you to stay with us and eat. And I guess the staff goes first, so... Jeff, I don't know if you want to lead the way or Cheryl or somebody. Anyway, God bless you guys. Enjoy your meal. Have a great day.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.